So that's one take on political correctness. Here's another.
Calling these arguments political correctness is a way to dismiss the debate as being about kind of surface level issues or maybe identity politics rather than being about the substance of what people are actually saying.
Amanda Taub used to be a human rights lawyer. These days she writes for the Vox News site. And earlier this year, she published a response to Jonathan Chait, defending so-called political correctness. She tells producer Raymond Tangekar that the PC backlash misses the point and glosses over real, substantive problems.
I don't think that people are doing this necessarily in a disingenuous way, but I think that it's a way to shift an argument to a much more comfortable place. Because by calling something political correctness, you get to have a debate about whether somebody else gets to make rules for the way you get to refer to them, as opposed to whether the way you've referred to somebody has hurt them, has been actually discriminatory or harmful.
Can you give me an example of that?
There's been a big debate recently over online harassment and online threats, particularly directed towards writers who are women. And there have been kind of different solutions suggested, and some of them have been greeted with a lot of kind of shock and worry that they could constitute censorship. So Twitter a few months ago announced that they were partnering with an NGO to try to better identify threats that were being kind of broadcast on Twitter's platform and to deal with them. And some people, most notably Andrew Sullivan, who's a well-known blogger, were very worried by this. They thought that it was kind of an example of censorship, that this new program was going to be interpreting threats too broadly and that it was going to put a damper on free speech and free debate. And I can understand where those fears come from. But at the same time, I think that to have a knee-jerk response that assumes it's going to be disingenuous or censorship or that it's immediately going to be abused, I think is the wrong response because these threats are a real issue. You know, this is not just people getting angry because somebody, you know, disagrees with them politically. These are people who are getting death threats and rape threats and, you know, unbelievably kind of horrible things said to them online. And that in itself puts a damper on free speech.
You know, I suppose some people might have seen that and said, you know, the internet is this ugly place, but it's not like it's the real world. So maybe it's just better not to take those comments too seriously.
I think that that has a little bit of truth to it. You know, I will say I've certainly gotten plenty of online threats in email and Twitter because of the writing that I've done. And I've certainly, as much as possible, tried to take the approach that, you know, this is happening in this kind of frictionless internet world and doesn't necessarily mean that these people would want to do these things in real life. But at the same time, it does have an effect. You know, it's cumulative. When you hear people say these things or read people saying these things, it gets to you eventually. You start to wonder if it's true. And the more you hear it, you wonder if this is becoming more likely that they're serious. And you constantly have to do that arithmetic about the degree to which it's serious versus the degree to which it might not be, and you can just dismiss it.
For instance, what kind of comments or emails do you receive?
I mean, I've had people email me to say that I should be sodomized with a gun, that my hands should be crushed to prevent me from writing the kinds of articles that I write, that they hope I get kidnapped and raped to death by 1,000 people. You know, it's they're not very nice things to say.
Well, and what do you do with that then? I mean, how do you respond to that?
I don't respond. There's nothing that I have to say to the people who are writing those things to me. It's upsetting, though. And it hasn't changed what I write, and I hope that it never does. But it is something that I'm aware of when I write, something that I know might happen.
And I think that might get to the heart of what a lot of critics of political correctness might have, in that it doesn't address the people that are creating these unsafe atmospheres, right? You're asking people to be civil, basically, but there's nothing that's being done to prevent trolls from being terrible on the internet.
So I think that there are a couple of different issues there, though. One is the issue of whether, you know, there should be substantive rules in place to prevent that kind of extreme harassment, but the other is the question of kind of who gets to make demands about what safety means and what kind of things are offensive. And calling it political correctness is a way to kind of step back from the substance of that a little bit. But I think you could say that we're at a moment of change right now in our society. And it's probably going to feel turbulent for a little while, but eventually we're going to have a clearer sense of what kind of things we find acceptable and what kind of things we don't. I think everybody's probably going to end up with some sort of compromise, and all of this won't seem quite as new and shocking, and we'll maybe have a better sense of where we come out substantively and won't feel the need to talk about political correctness so much.
Amanda Taub is a staff writer for Vox.com. She talked with Raymond Tungekar. You'll find links to her article and Jonathan Chait's on our website at ttbook.org.